This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College.
Local radio for Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was back to winning ways for Pompey in midweek at Priestfield.
And Jacobs has only got one defender to beat, breaking into the area. Jacobs, can he get the shot away? Jacobs, he can, and he'll score his first Portsmouth goal.
Michael Jacobs secured a 2-0 victory in all 3 points for the Blues in Kent on Tuesday night. Between now and seven, we'll be hearing the post-match reaction of manager Kenny Jackett.
There's a lot of quality, a lot of character, and has a good effect on other people and brings them into the game as well. So we have to make sure we use him right. But
as well as the thoughts of a brand new signing.
It's an unbelievable stadium. The fan base is unreal as well. And speaking to a few of the lads that I played there before, they said it's a no-brainer.
Striker Jordy Huwula put pen to paper on a short-term deal just yesterday. On the show tonight, between now and seven, we'll be discussing the win at Gillingham, digging deeper into the new signing, and looking ahead to this weekend's trip to the Stadium of Light. You're listening to the only radio station from the Great Waterfront City, 93.7 Express FM. And this is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, good evening and a very warm welcome to you all to yet another edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. It's great to have you join us this evening. As always, thanks for choosing to listen in. We'd love to hear from you throughout the show. And coming up between now and seven, I'll be bringing in two more Pompey fans into the conversation over the phone lines to talk about the Blues' latest result, analyse the importance of a confident defence, and to discuss the role of a strong team chemistry. And you can get involved with any of those topics simply by texting the word express followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/pompeylive. Be sure to include your score predictions ahead of this weekend's visit to Sunderland too. We'll get those towards the end of the hour. First vote, we're going to take a listen back to the events of Tuesday night. The Blues made the short journey to Kent to take on Steve Evans and his Gillingham side, going into the game having been defeated at home to Doncaster Rovers in the previous fixture. On the commentary for the midweek tie at Priestfield was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wanna believe it?
Pompey Live.
Oh, Marquis outside the penalty area for Portsmouth. Will he get a shot on his left foot? Marquis into the bottom corner! John Marquis recalled to the team and finding the back of the net. Portsmouth, with their first shot on target, find the goal. Marquis wrong-footing Bonham. It's Gillingham 0, Portsmouth 1. And Jacobs has only got one defender to beat, breaking into the area. Jacobs, can he get the shot away? Jacobs, he can, and he'll score his first Portsmouth goal. Pompey 2 up inside 16 minutes. It looked like Jacobs had overrun it. He was falling to the ground as he got the shot on goal, but it found the back of the net. Gillingham 0, Portsmouth 2.
Victor, now this is danger for Portsmouth as Gillingham have it inside the penalty area with Samuel to Graham to get a shot away and missed by inches. The left-hand post is behind a goal kick. And Jordan Graham has got his head in his hands. He's missed Gillingham's best chance of the half so far. Still 2-0. Jacobs burst into the penalty area. Great from Jacobs. Shot at goal. Loose ball. Drill. Goal bound from Williams. And it won't fall for him. Fantastic defending from Drysdale to throw himself in the path of the shot and deflect it behind for a corner kick. Throw onto the chest of Harness. Good play to get Williams away down the right. Can Williams deliver from the dead ball line? Chipped into the middle. Marquis's header is wide. What an opportunity. And Marquis, without doubt, should make it 3-0.
McGilvery
goes long, and Harness could be in here. A mistake at the back. A great chance for Marcus Harness, saved by the feet of the goalkeeper. Chance to end the game. Goes begging again for Portsmouth, and you hope they won't live to rue these missed chance. Watmore's out to try and stop the cross coming in. He can't, to the far post. Great defending from Raggett. Really brave centre-half play, heading it behind for a corner. The full-time whistle has gone here at Priestfield, and Portsmouth have returned to winning ways after the disappointment of Saturday and a frustrating start to the season. Portsmouth have come to Priestfield Stadium and got an excellent 3 points.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Quick fire goals from John Marquis and Michael Jacobs in the first half helped Pompey to a 2-0 victory over the Jewels on Tuesday night. Don't forget, we're looking for your post-match feelings too between now and 7. What did you make of the performance? Should Roland Curtis remain sidelined this weekend? And has Sean Raggett done enough to earn a place in the starting 11 for tomorrow's game? All the ways to get in touch can be found on our website, expressfm.com. I'd like to welcome onto the show my guest now. First of all, it's great to hear from you, Rhys Harding. Thanks for calling in tonight.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
Rhys, was the Doncaster game last Saturday just a blip? Now, Pompey have returned to winning ways on Tuesday night after being defeated at Fratton Park last weekend, and that came after 3 consecutive victories. Was that just a blip, or are you perhaps concerned about how Pompey are going to be performing against the bigger sides in the division this season?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for the start of the season, we needed to get out of our playoff hangover. And we have had a couple of, you know, fixtures this season. When you look at Rochdale, you look at even some of the other games like Wigan, and even the ones we won, like MK Dons, there's not been many convincing wins to start our season. So I do think having a clean sheet and scoring 2 against Gillingham was sort of what we needed. And, you know, to get for Marquis to be on the score sheet as well, hopefully he can get into some form. I'm a little bit concerned, but It's going to show whether this is just a little sort of rough patch at the start of the season, or whether it's going to continue now.
And joining you, Rhys, is Paul Fletcher. Paul, same to you, mate. Thanks for phoning in this evening.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And as Rhys has just kind of alluded to there, Pompey securing the victory on Tuesday night, and it's their first league win of the new season with also a clean sheet to complement. That's something that's going to provide a massive confidence boost heading into Saturday when we take on Sunderland with the best defence in the league.
Yeah, that's something we've needed this season, that clean sheet and a win. Going on about the blip at home, I feel like we're going to struggle without the fans at home this year.
Yeah.
But Saturday is a massive, massive game, and if we can go there and I think if we can get a point, who knows? Again, with the defence, as you said, I'm not really I'm not too keen on our back four this season so far, from what I've seen. So
One of the key talking points from Tuesday's win at Gillingham, Rhys, was John Marquis and how important it was for him to get him a score sheet. And get him a score sheet he did pretty early as well. Let's take a listen back to his goal now.
Oh, Marquis outside the penalty area for Portsmouth. Will he get a shot on his left foot? Marquis into the bottom corner! John Marquis recalled to the team and finding the back of the net. Portsmouth with their first shot on target find the goal. Marquis wrong-footing Bonham. It's Gillingham 0, Portsmouth 1.
Somewhat 12 minutes into the game there, Rhys, John Marquis opening his account for Pompey during that match. And as I say, an important one for him to get that goal with the injury of Ellis Harrison.
Oh, definitely, 100%. Because obviously with Ellis now out, and at that point we didn't know about Hawula, it's one of those situations where you sort of need your other striker to sort of kickstart his goal scoring, otherwise you're sort of left a bit in the mud almost. But it's nice that he's got one on the mark this previous weekend, that hopefully he can take a little bit of confidence going into Sunderland. But because obviously when you do have one striker going out, you sort of at that point almost relying on, you know, one person. You don't want to put any pressure on Marquis, but it's nice that he's managed to get that now, whilst we know that Harrison's going to be out.
Yeah, and it wasn't just an important goal, Paul, for the sake of Ellis Harrison being out injured for the next few weeks, but important for John Marquis on a personal note. You know, we've spoken here on the Football Hour over the last few weeks, and well, towards the back end of last season as well, about how John Marquis, he's a very prolific goal scorer. We know the ability he's got within, you know, within his game. But in this particular team, the setup that Kelly Jackett likes to employ, he does find it a little bit difficult to score the amount of goals that he did at Doncaster, previous in his career. So it was important for him to get off the mark, as Reece has just mentioned, heading into a period where we are really going to be relying on him now.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Big John. I like the way his work rate. He works hard. But like you say, he's finding it hard up there on his own at times, like you said, because of the formation. Mm. I do think he's got goals in him. I know, but I mean, we all know he's got goals in him. It's just finding where he's going to get the goals, or is it a confident thing since he's come back down here? I don't know. Hopefully Tuesday was a well taken goal. He worked hard. He worked hard for the. He worked hard winning the second goal as well.
Yeah.
So as well as scoring goals, he brings a lot to contribution to the. The goals from around the team.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean he's going to be massive on Saturday.
It's a very good point Paul's making there, Reece, about how the impact of John Marquis within this team that we've seen already. A great performance on Tuesday night, arguably up there with one of the nominations for man of match, and quite a few names you could have picked out from that game. Actually, you look at the attacking lineup that Pompey possessed in that match. All of them put in a very, very decent shift and quite a potent performance all round. And in particular, Marcus Harness, who we didn't really know too much about the formation, admittedly, throughout the entire game. At parts, it looked like he was playing up top with John Marquis in a 4-4-2. And then during periods, he was coming in deep. He was playing that sort of number 10 role, drifting out wide on occasions and just really creating every single opportunity from all over the pitch. So the importance of Marcus Harness, we've already highlighted this season, once again showing on Tuesday night.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, he scored, his hat-trick previously, and, now he's got, on Gillingham, he put in a terrific performance, and it's one of those things where, as much as it's good to have a player, playing their position, if he's adapting and like you say if he's getting forward a bit more, if he's just getting a little bit more defensive, if he has that versatility in the team, it's going to help all the other players out as well.
Yeah.
And he so far this season has proven himself to be, he's started well, and he's going to be another one of those players come the big games that is going to be the ones to make the difference. Definitely.
Yeah, and the most important things to take from Marcus Harness, Paul, is to try and keep him, consistently performing at that level. He's a great player on his day. We know that. We saw that on Tuesday. We saw that at Burton a few weeks ago. But it's in games such as, Sunderland tomorrow and against Charlton next week at home. It's in those kind of games where we really need his attacking prowess against, two very solid defences.
Yep, I totally agree. You talk about the formation played on Tuesday night. You think, is Kenny gave Harness that free role like he was trying to give to Curtis at the end of last season or the season before? I can't remember. Is he saying to Harness, well, you play that free role behind the striker, you join the striker when you need to join the striker? And then after we got the first goal, was he like, right, now you go back out wide, we're going to hurt these down the wing? Because his pace is unbelievable. He's with the ball at his feet, he's unbelievable. But like you say, can we keep him consistent performing? I think we can. Again, it's the midfield, isn't it? You've got to have that midfield playing the right balls to him and the right attacking style of football. Because sometimes, with the Pompey midfielders, we've all seen, they either play very well together or they play like they've never played with each other. Mm. So it's one of them as well.
Paul, thank you very much, mate. We're going to get onto the topic of that Pompey midfield in the next part of the show. But it's time now to hear from the Blues boss, Kenny Jackett. Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team caught up with the gaffer after the win on Tuesday night to get his assessment of the match.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good performance going forward. And we got a couple of good goals, but possibly should have had more. And we were always looking for that third one to kill the game off. But similarly then, defensively, we were solid as well. With, you know, Gillingham always put a lot of pressure on you and throw a lot of bodies forwards and big players as well. So we did limit them and work really hard for our clean sheets. You know, similarly then when they do push onto you like that, you have to retain a threat on the break and, you know, always be able to score more goals. And I did think that we did have that threat tonight.
John Marquis opened the scoring. Do you always feel like he's going to hit the back of the net when he gets the ball at his feet?
Yeah, we want to get to that stage. He's a really committed player. He's just a fantastic attitude. His work rate, his running is terrific for the team. But like all centre-forwards, there's goals that give them confidence and also assists. But, you know, for John anyway, he'll be lifted by that goal. It's a key one. Obviously, a first one in a game is a key one. So, you know, performance-wise, though, he's worked hard, really hard again. And as I say, you know, the goal will give him a lot of confidence, I'm sure, going forward.
And the first goal for the Blues for Michael Jacobs tonight as well. Is that a sign that he's fully up to the pace after not quite having the same pre-season that everyone else has?
I think so. I do think he's a good player. And you know, I don't know whether over the next couple of months he's going to play, you know, 95 minutes of every game. But, you know, he's a lot of quality, a lot of character, and has a good effect on other people and brings them into the game as well. So we have to make sure we, you know, we use him right. But there is no reason now that you know, he can't keep going. And we do feel that in those forward areas, if we can use the players well, we have both good starters and good impact players coming off the bench, which you always do need, whether that's to see you through or to maybe turn the game back in your favour.
Yeah, and of course it wasn't just going forward that you looked impressive. At the back, you kept a clean sheet as well. How pleased were you with that, especially with so many free kicks going into the box?
Yeah, it's tough at Gillingham, as we know. They've started the season very well and put a lot of pressure on you and do commit bodies forward, definitely. And you know, the long throws, we did talk about not giving away too many free kicks, but it's hard because similarly you have to compete and have to be, you know, first to the ball. So the ball does come forward, and particularly in the second half it did, but we defended superbly and I felt, you know, retained a threat on the break where we were looking for that third goal.
Just finally, Kenny, such a great performance tonight. Is the key now to keep it consistent and to produce this level every week?
I think that it'll give the players confidence. You know, it's been a tough place for us to come here, and Gillingham is always a difficult game. And as I say, they've started the season very well. So, you know, we're pleased with the performance tonight as a group. It was a good one. And going forward now, for all of our players, they will, I'm sure, gain the confidence from it.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts on the midweek victory at Gillingham. Keep those messages coming in, Blues fans. We're after your reaction from Tuesday's win, your thoughts on the new signing, how you feel about the chemistry within the team, and of course your score predictions ahead of the next game, Sunderland away to the Stadium of Light tomorrow afternoon. All the ways to get involved, text Express followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pompey. Live. After the break, we'll be hearing from the new signing, Jordi Hiwula.
I'm a hard-working striker. I always give 100%. And yeah, I'm just coming, do well and hopefully score a few goals.
As well as reading more of your text, tweets and emails from back home too. So stick around and don't go anywhere, because we've got plenty more still to come here on the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the show, which is this season being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. And don't forget that it is compulsory to wear a face covering throughout your trip. I'm joined this evening by Rhys Harding and Paul Fletcher over the phone lines to discuss Tuesday night's win over Gillingham and to look ahead to tomorrow's trip to Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. A very tough game for the Blues coming up this weekend. We're going to go on to one of the points you mentioned before we did branch out to that break there, Paul, and that was the Pompey midfield on Tuesday night. Now, last week, Kenny Jackett explored the option of Ben Close alongside Tom Naylor. This week, explored the option of Andy Cannon alongside Tom Naylor. We're going to preview the game tomorrow a little later in the show, but based on those two matches and the two performances from those separate players, who are you more kind of confident with playing alongside the captain in future games to come?
I like Closey with Naylor. You know, the other guys have played there. I'm not a massive fan of Bryn Morris. I know there's a massive uproar everywhere about Bryn Morris. I'm not his biggest fan. He doesn't do enough for me. I think Close is... He has got a bad pass in him, but he's got something going forward as well as, you know, he works hard as well. So that's why I'd go with Close. But
yeah, that's fair enough. Reece, your thoughts on that as well? Andy Cannon, I thought, put in a very decent shift on Tuesday night. But, you know, as Paul's mentioned, it is a difficult call for the manager who has Ben Close and Andy Cannon. Two different players, of course, but two players who are perfectly apt to sit alongside Tom Naylor.
Definitely. I think I have to agree. Like, Ben Close does... He is a little hard worker, and I think he has suited that role. You know, he's done a decent job there. I also can see why you play Andy Cannon just as much as Ben Close. So it's one of those situations, I think, where it's almost like it's the player that's suited to the specific game personally. But yeah, really, I'm torn between the two. I can't make my mind up over either of them, but it's been nice that he's tried something different, I think, after I think Bryn Morris hasn't had the best start to the season. I think it's nice that he's trying to work in another player alongside Naylor, just because it's what we've needed in the midfield.
And I'm sure we'll gain more of an understanding as to who may be Kenny's kind of number one pick in that position over the next few weeks or so. A lot of games coming up in a very short period of time for the Blues, starting tomorrow away to Sunderland. Got a few emails coming in. We're going to start off with Alan Swift. Alan, good evening to you. Thank you once again for tuning in and for getting involved. Always great to hear from you. He says, hi, Jake and the lads. I hope Kenny sticks to his winning formation and player selection, with a new striker making a debut in the second half. It puzzles me how the Danish defender does not get a look in, or is Kenny just waiting for Raggett to make more errors? I still think three at the back with two or three up top is a good formula for long-term success. It's tight defensively with plenty going forward. It would suit Williams with his energy as a wing-back, with good choices on the other flank too. Alan in Southsea. Alan, thank you very much. Thank you for getting in touch. Like Alan, you can have your say on the show this evening as well before 7 o'clock. Are you seeing signs of this Pompey team finally clicking? Should new signing Jordy Hawula be thrown straight into the deep end for tomorrow's trip to Sunderland? And don't forget your score predictions ahead of that game too. Alan, in his email there, mentions, Paul, the performance of Ryan Williams lately and how he adds a different option on that right-hand side. A player who's come into the team over the last couple of weeks or so, and I'd say he's gone under the radar. I think, you know, like Andy Cannon on Tuesday night, in my opinion, I thought he put in a very good shift, and I think he deserves to be in contention tomorrow.
I really like Ryan Williams, and I've said this for a long time. He works really hard. It's even from last season when we were playing Harness on the right and Williams. I preferred Williams last season because Williams works hard. He chases everything. The only thing that Ryan Williams, I think, lacks is a bit of end productivity, so getting that ball in the box. But everything else for me, what he does well, he works hard. He's good on the ball. He picks his head up. You know, your move. So I do like Ryan Williams, and he is a good player, and he's a very, very good player to have in League One. And he said tomorrow, if you've got Harness in that free role again, why not put Ryan Williams on that right and use that base?
Yeah. Stephen Jerome has emailed in as well. He says, hi there, lads. I thought we played well on Tuesday night at Gillingham, and it was important we got back to winning ways after the disappointment of the Doncaster defeat. John Marquis took his goal well, and that would do his confidence for world of good, I think, and it was great to see Jacobs open his Pompey account with a goal as well. More importantly, we defended well to see the game out for a win. I also think Jordy Hawula will be a great addition to our strike force. He's a fantastic player, a prolific goal scorer, and I'm excited to see what he can do for us. I really hope Kenny gives him a chance to impress, he goes on to say. I think tomorrow's game at Sunderland will be a tough test for us, but hopefully we can take some confidence from Tuesday's victory into the game and give it a good go. Play at Pompey, says Steve in Southsea. And again, another player who, you know, Steve mentioned there, Reece, and this really is the Football Hour discussing Pompey's midfield kind of prowess and how well they worked on Tuesday night. But Michael Jacobs, who seems to be settling in well within the squad.
Oh, definitely. I think it's a situation that's similar to Marquis, how he needed to get his goal to, I think, you know, in this period where we don't have Harrison, he needs to kickstart something here. I think it's the same with Jacobs. He's got that goal now, and actually, it'll do a whole world of confidence to him, I think, and it's nice to get that win and for him to get a goal, because actually when you play a big side like Sunderland and you probably start to get into these tougher fixtures, when you have the confidence to, you know, when you have the confidence to score in, you know, the previous fixture and everything, you know, I think he'll, it's almost like you're not going into it with a drought and you're not sort of, you back yourself to score one, you back yourself to actually make an impact in the games. And I think, yeah, that goal against Gillingham, it will, I think it will do him a world of good for Saturday.
Yeah. Let's take a listen back to that goal from Michael Jacobs at Priestfield on Tuesday night now then.
And Jacobs has only got one defender to beat, breaking into the area. Jacobs, can he get the shot away? Jacobs, he can, and he'll score his first Portsmouth goal. Pompey two up inside 16 minutes. It looked like Jacobs had overrun it. He was falling to the ground as he got the shot on goal, but it found the back of the net. Gillingham 0, Portsmouth 2.
And Paul, this pun is going to be milked throughout the entire season every time Jacobs scores a goal. But in all fairness, it really was a cracking effort.
Yeah, it was a cracking goal. Yeah, and I can see why they call him Crackers now. yeah, I thought he was going to go down. I thought he'd overhit it, like he said in the commentary, and I was like, here we go. And then somehow he got his, I think it was his left peg on it, and he got it home, and it was a great finish as well. Mm.
Great composure from the lad there, yes. Reece. And this is something which Pompey have kind of lacked at the start of this campaign, composure and, you know, confidence going forward. You know, the attacking options on paper are fantastic. You look at the players we've got at our disposal, but perhaps the intelligence of actually creating decent goal-scoring opportunities has been lacking. Now we've got Michael Jacobs in the side. We've got Jordy Huula, who we'll come on to in a second. We've got John Marquis, hopefully now up and running properly for the new season. Do you think we are starting to maybe click and starting to see what actually Pompey can do and maybe see that more consistently throughout the games to come?
I definitely hope so, because I think it was a Doncaster game. I think we started quite well in that game, but we weren't taking our chances, and in the end, obviously, they won the match. And it's one of those situations where, you know, if you're going to make chances, you've got to take them as well. And you've got to make something of them. And I think the new signing, and like you say, Jacobs as well, I think will add something different to the squad that perhaps maybe it is just these last couple of weeks it hasn't clicked yet. And like you say, perhaps the sort of the different players in the team, Harrison obviously being forced out, getting Paulu in, and having Jacobs as well, it might just offer enough difference that we can get more chances buried, if you'd like.
Yeah. Let's hear now from a new signing, shall we? Ollie Marsh caught up with Jordy Huula at the training ground yesterday afternoon and began by asking the striker to explain how the move came about.
I received a phone call on Tuesday saying that I was supposed to be interested, and I just told my agent to try and get it done as soon as possible, and now I'm here 2 days later, so yeah, I'm really happy.
And what was it about it that made Portsmouth such an easy decision to make?
It's always been one of them places that when I've came and played against Portsmouth, it's always been a tough game, and I've always had to raise my game when I've came here as well. And the last two times that I've came down here, I've scored in the last two games, so yeah, it's an unbelievable stadium. The fan base is unreal as well. And speaking to a few of the lads that I played there before, they said it's a no-brainer.
Who are those players that you've spoken to before? And obviously you would have played with Connor Chaplin and Michael Dawell at Coventry. Have they often spoke about the club at all?
Yeah, I spoke to Connor Chaplin when he came to Coventry. He told me how big the club was and how big the fan base was. And it's one of them places where I've always wanted to play. So when I've got this opportunity, I just couldn't say no.
You mentioned the two goals that you've scored at Fratton Park. I'm sure Pompey fans remember those, but just for anybody who's not familiar with your work, just talk us through sort of what type of striker you are.
I'm a hard-working striker. I always give 100%. And, yeah, I'm just coming, do well, and hopefully score a few goals.
Looking back over your career, it's not something you've had to experience very often, but what is it like being a free agent, especially in these sort of strange times that we find ourselves in at the moment?
Yeah, it's been really tough, you know. At times you're training by yourself, but it's one of them things that you just got to stay ready and just wait for whatever phone call you get. And luckily that Portsmouth came in, and I'm really happy to be here now.
And do you sort of feel fully fit even without that kind of full pre-season behind you?
Yeah, I've been working really hard over, obviously, lockdown and then as the season started. So, yeah, I feel fit and ready to go.
You know this division very well. As a youngster, you sort of broke through with loan moves at Yeovil and Walsall, and of course you won the division last season with Coventry. Do you sort of feel like this is where you can really shine?
Yeah, I feel like I can come down here and really play my football. Last year was a difficult season for me because I didn't play as much as I wanted to, but coming here, you know, it's a fresh start for me, and hopefully I can come here, start playing football and hopefully score a few goals.
We're making this interview a quick one because you've got to shoot off to Sunderland straight after. Is that something you're looking forward to, obviously being chucked straight in at the deep end with a big game?
Yeah, you know, that's what, as a player, you just want to play games, and obviously first game, Sunderland away, hopefully I can get into the squad and hopefully I can come in on Saturday and show what I can do.
New Blues striker Jordy Huillevaire, who signed as a free agent on a short-term deal until January, just over 24 hours ago. Great to hear, as Ollie's just mentioned there, Jordy Huillevaire available for tomorrow's trip up to Sunderland. I love that. Come straight down to Portsmouth, sign the contract, do your interview and get straight up to the stadium. I'd like love commitment from the new striker. Let's talk about him in, lads. Jordy Huillevaire signed on a short-term deal until January with the option of extending that until the end of the season, of course, based on Kenny's judgment, whether he wants to keep him at the club. He signed as a free agent. He previously played for Coventry City between 2018 and this summer, of course. 54 appearances, 14 league goals. Not too bad of a record. He came through the Manchester City Academy. He's now 26 years old, and he will be taking the number 26 at Pompey this season. A player, Rhys, with experience of winning this division, of course, winning it with Coventry City last campaign.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he, like you say, he's got the knowledge, and he clearly, from the interview, wants to get into the games quickly. And he's been a free agent, so he's clearly wants to get back playing football again. But you see him last, I think he scored at Fratton Park last season, didn't he? So, yeah, I mean, he sounds like a player that's going to thrive off the big occasions, that's going to sort of work well with our forwards. But most importantly, like you say, he's got that sort of knowledge of being in a winning side all the way through to the end of the season. And it's nice to bring in players that actually, you know, could potentially... You know, you see them one season playing for one team, getting promoted, and it's nice that we have that knowledge coming into the team that sort of can help the other players, you know, at times when we maybe aren't winning or whatever, because obviously he's been there and he can push them through all the way, hopefully.
Yeah. Paul, impressed with the signing? Of course, you know, after the deadline day antics, I mean, of course, the next day, you know, inevitably, Ellis Harrison picking up that injury left us really with only one natural striker in John Marquis. Of course, it was a signing that really was needed for Kenny Jackett to make, but are you impressed with the quality of which he has brought in?
You know, he's going to score goals in this division. He's scored a few. He's a hard-working player, it looks. And from what I've seen, he will suit what Jackett wants to do with the pace. But it's good for a free agent, but I'm looking at what we let go in the summer, striking-wise, and you think, what we've got, are we any different? You know, we let go of Pittman. We've let an attacking player in Evans go. And now Ollie Hawkins, his other strikers, we've let go. And have we really progress the side going forward? I don't know. No. I can't say yes, I can't say no. Until we see him play, we don't know.
Yeah. Fair point there from Paul, and it's hard to disagree with that, isn't it, Rhys? You know, has this Pompey side actually progressed from kind of the last season or two? It does seem as though maybe not. However, with the addition of Jordy Huillevaire, as I mentioned, you know, with the injury to Ellis Harrison last week, it was needed, and he adds a different option, we imagine, maybe off the bench or even up, you know, two up top with John Marquis.
Oh, definitely, yeah, because obviously losing Harrison, it's inevitably you're gonna need something else with John Marquis, because it's just one of those situations where you, with one sort of fully fit striker and everything, you're going to need someone else, and he's come at the right time. And he's obviously, everyone talks about his pace and everything, and I do agree with the point that with who we let go, hopefully he brings in qualities that perhaps, you know, I think Pittman was a quality player, Hawkins had his qualities, you know, and things like that, but it depends, you know, who works best as a strike partnership with Marquess. Hopefully, one sort of feeds off the other in a sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's come at the perfect time, and obviously with Harrison being out, it's almost the perfect opportunity to show himself and show what he's capable of, you know, now or never.
Yeah. Luke Ellis on Twitter says, if you look at the front seven options we have, there really aren't many better in this league. Kenny Jackett should be able to get a tune out of them. If we can get them all on song, will give us a great chance in games. Steve Dines has tweeted in, says, Jake, Hawula hasn't started a competitive match since the middle of last season, and it appears has most likely been training on his own since then. I wouldn't start him tomorrow away against one of the best teams in the league. Okay, right after the break, we'll be looking further ahead to Pompey's next league match, which is away to Sunderland tomorrow afternoon. We're still relying on you back home to help us get through the next 20 minutes or so. Be sure to keep your messages and predictions coming in to us before 7 o'clock. If you haven't done so yet and aren't sure how to get in contact with the panel this evening, then listen carefully. You can either text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Alternatively, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or find us on Facebook.com/Pompey Live. And whilst you do that, we're going to branch off for that short break, but stay tuned and keep it Express FM for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the third and final part of this week's instalment of the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across Portsmouth and further out too if you fancy a day trip. Be sure to head over to stagecoach.co.uk to make yourself aware of the latest transport guidelines in relation to COVID-19 restrictions. We've reached the part of the show now where we take a closer look at the challenge which awaits the Blues in their next fixture. And you've still got plenty of time to get in touch with us this evening if you haven't yet to do so. We're still seeking your score predictions for this weekend's game, as well as your thoughts on who should make this starting 11. 81400 is the number to text. Be sure to start those with the word Express and include your name at the end of a message. Or you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. Let's hand over now to Mason Jordan, who has all you need to know about tomorrow's opponents, Sunderland.
It's promptly back to league business for the Blues this weekend, who will go into match day 8 of the new League One season, having just defeated Gillingham away from home in midweek. Arguably, however, Kenny Jackett's side face up against a much sterner test this weekend when they travel to the Stadium of Light to take on promotion hopefuls Sunderland.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Black Cats of Tyne and Wear provide the next challenge for Pompey, who have won 3 of their last 4 league matches. The two sides last met at Fratton Park on the 1st of February, with the hosts running out 2-0 winners thanks to goals from Christian Burgess and James Bolton. But what do we know about this week's opponents ahead of kickoff?
Manager.
The Black Cats have an experienced Football League boss in charge of their first team. 52-year-old Phil Parkinson accepted a 2.5-year contract on Weir side in October 2019 and has since overseen 39 competitive games in charge. Parkinson was once a trainee at Southampton and made his Football League debut with Bury in 1988, having failed to feature even once for the team just down the M27. Hull City, Charlton Athletic and Bradford City are all clubs in which Parkinson has represented as manager, with Bolton Wanderers the most recent side to employ the gaffer, who has yet to add a Football League promotion to his CV.
One to watch.
The diverse and reliable Luke O'Nine is one to keep tabs on this weekend. The 25-year-old Watford Academy product can play in midfield and at centre-back, though plays more often than not as a wing-back at the Stadium of Light. O'Nine is known for his impressive attacking prowess, as well as his ability to quickly track back and help defend for his side. Often a player who causes the Blues a problem or two when the two sides have met over the past few seasons.
Top scorer.
Sunderland have two players currently locked as their leading scorer across all competitions this season. Former Blues forward Chris Maguire and 27-year-old striker Charlie Wyke both have 4 goals to their name so far. It's the Scotsman Maguire, however, who has netted more times in the league, bagging against Bristol Rovers and Swindon Town to claim that accolade, with two goals against Carlisle United in the EFL Trophy to complement.
Current form.
It would be quite the understatement to say that Sunderland have had a good start to the new season. Phil Parkinson's side have been defeated just once across all competitions since the start of the campaign. That was a penalty shootout loss at home to Hull City in the Carabao Cup first round. The Black Cats have been rampant in the EFL Trophy so far, beating Aston Villa under-21s by 8-1 before seeing off Carlisle United 5-3. In the league, Sunderland have played 6 games, winning 4 and drawing 2. As a result, they sit in 5th in the table at the moment, having scored 7 and conceding just the once. Pompey's opponents this weekend have the best defence of any team across the entire Football League pyramid. Only Championship outfit Reading can boast an equal record, also conceding just the once thus far. Will the Blues follow up from Tuesday's win with another when they take on the Black Cats of Sunderland? All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
Big thanks to Mason Vare for providing us for key names and numbers within the Black Cats team ahead of tomorrow's league clash at the Stadium of Light. Of course, Jordy Hawula will be available for that match. Let's hope that Jordy can upset the Mackems. Wouldn't be the first time, would it? That was terrible. Paul, tough game tomorrow. Sunderland, a team who have only conceded once in the league this season. They've got the best defence, or the joint best defence, with Reading in the Championship across the entire Football League and Premier League. It's going to be a very tough game and very difficult for Pompey to try and break down that back four.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very difficult. The only thing I can say that we've got, and like they said on the text, we've probably got the best forwards on paper and in the league, and wingers as well. So that's probably going to be very key tomorrow. But I think that the main thing that's going to be key tomorrow is going to be big Craig McGilvery. He's always the standout player when we go to the Stadium at Light. He always has a good game there. He needs to be on his A game tomorrow.
Yeah. Gav Jones, regular tweeter and listener to the show. Good evening to you, Gav. He sends in a message saying, "Evening, gents. Absolutely delighted with the signing of Hawula. Me and my younger cousin were shocked to see him on the free agents list, as we've watched him from afar for quite a while now. We both said to each other, if only we could sign him, he's unbelievable." Buzzing, he ends that tweet. Thank you, Gav, for getting in touch. And one more on the emails. Graham Wilkins, "Evening, gents. The Blues had their best 90 minutes of football on Tuesday, and it was a convincing win against one of our bogey sides. Our only fault from the game was not taking more of the chances when they came along. I'd like Kenny to start with the same side versus Sunderland and hope we start with the same attacking stance they did that night. It'll be tough, but we'll be happy for a 1-1 draw. Would ideally like to score a last minute penalty against them." Graham Wilkins, thank you for getting in touch. And one of the key points within that email, Rhys, is the importance of a full 90 minutes of football from Pompey, which I have to agree was probably the first time we've seen that this season, and that was on Tuesday night.
Definitely, we got to start the game well, and we got to take our chances at the beginning. We got to start on the front foot, but as more importantly, we got to not throw it away at the end of the game. And I think sometimes this season so far, we may have looked like we've started the better team or we've had a few chances, and then come half time, come the end of the game, it looks like we're just not there 100% sometimes. And I think that is something, especially obviously against sides like Sunderland, with their record, it is something that we're going to have to really be tuned in on. Otherwise, you know, even if we are ahead, they could easily switch it around like that because of the quality that they've got as well.
Yeah. Let's quickly talk now, Paul, about the importance of a strong team chemistry within the team. Would it be fair to perhaps assume that so far, perhaps at the start of the season, towards the end of last season as well, and even beyond that, is it safe to maybe say that there's no real chemistry within that squad? And would you perhaps go as far as saying that maybe that seems to be improving now that we've had a few wins under our belt?
You say chemistry. You look at that as the back four again. Really, I think there's the chemistry with Raggett. He's not. I backed Raggett when we signed him. I thought, he's going to do well this season. This season, he's looked like he's like Bambi on ice again. And there just doesn't seem to be any chemistry with the back four. But yeah. And like you say, it's Pompey. It's hit and miss with the chemistry. Like I said, with the midfield, like sometimes they look like we've got the best midfield in the league, and then other times they look they've never played. So, but the chemistry is getting there. You can see that there's quality, and they know where each other are. It's just
do we want to play our game, and that's it.
Yeah, and one of the questions I posed at the start of the show, lads, was to supporters back home listening in, would you rather see Sean Raggett remain in the side for tomorrow's trip to Sunderland, or would you prefer to see Rasmus Nicolaisen start his first game for the Blues in the league, of course? We've got some coming in on Facebook. Chris Whitewick says, I think I'd give Rasmus a run out. Steve Stedding says, for me, Rasmus needs to play, discounting the fact he's a terrific footballer who's playing way below his station, so should be nailed on a starter alongside Jack. I feel his and Jack's composure on the ball will help us retain possession from the back and stop this one-way traffic at our goal that we keep seeing. Too many times we win the ball and try and get rid of it as soon as possible by lumping forward. Currently, Jack is the only player at the back who holds the ball for a few seconds with his head up, looking for the right pass. Steve, thank you for that very detailed assessment on you know, the difference between Sean Raggett and Rasmus Nicolaisen. Really insightful there. Dave Smith, in regards to Sean Raggett, says, but he's past his sell-by date. He's a liability. Thank you, Dave, for getting in touch. And that's about it we got regarding that conversation there. Rhys, you know, we've discussed, you know, Rags or Nicolaisen tomorrow. What would you go for then? Would you look to change what is or what was a winning formula on Tuesday night, a clean sheet for the Blues? Or would Pompey actually be beneficial in having Rasmus Nicolaisen start from the off?
Well, that's a tough one, because I personally thought that Rasmus would have started one of the previous games, you know, something else in the season that's not one of these big fixtures, you know, to throw him in at Sunderland. Obviously, he's a good experienced player and everything, but it's to throw him in for this fixture to it's that's what's, you know, tearing the decision for me. Because you can either keep Sean Raggett in, but as we've seen, he's been making a few mistakes so far this season, and I agree with the fact that I was happy that we secured him this window, but he hasn't looked quite the same as he did last season. And so I do want to give Rasmus the run out. I don't know whether this is the fixture for it. So personally, I'm really 50-50, but I wouldn't mind seeing Rasmus tomorrow, in my opinion.
Nice to see, Paul, really, that Keddie's got a bit of a selection headache now, not necessarily in regards to the defence. I think fans have made kind of their voices known on that one, but certainly in terms of going forward on the wings, in midfield too as well, Kenny's got a bit of a dilemma when he's got so many players who have proven within the last 7 days or so that they perhaps should be starting tomorrow. As for Jordi Huwula, do we throw him straight in the deep end or perhaps ease him in the second half? What are your thoughts? Who do you think needs to start at the stadium like tomorrow?
I would probably keep it the same. Maybe, like you say, Raggett for the Danish centre-back. Like you said, that's a hard one, but I don't think you can throw him in. He said he's been working hard through the lockdown. I get that, but it's all about match fitness. And we see with that with Jacobs, and we threw him in for a couple of games. It took him to get that match fitness. You need that match fitness. This is too much of a big game for him, I think, to chuck him in. Like, I'll say bring him on if we're behind, or... Yeah. You know, bring him on, but I wouldn't start him. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Carol Inhaling Ireland is going for a 2-0 Pompey win, and she asks, why hasn't Kenny Jackett brought on the young Dutchman from FC Midtjylland yet? Carol, we don't know. Maybe we'll see him tomorrow afternoon against Sunderland. OK, lads, thank you very much. We're going to move on now and hear from Ryan Honey, who takes a look at what's coming up for our local non-league and women's teams this weekend.
Having to Waterlooville travel to Bath City in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup on Saturday. The Hawks have started the season well and head into the game unbeaten in all competitions. Baffin's Milton Rovers will be looking to bounce back this weekend after a 3-0 loss away to Fareham Town on Tuesday. Rovers welcome Bournemouth to the PMC Stadium in matchday 10 of the Wessex Premier season. After easing past Hounslow Women last Sunday, Pompey Women take on Gillingham this weekend. Jay Sadler's team will be hoping to make it four successive victories when they host the Gills. Gosport Ladies entertain NMO Ladies this Sunday at Privet Park. Borough will want to build on their 6-1 win over AFC Bedhampton Reserves last time out.
Ryan Honey there, all you need to know ahead of a busy few days involving some of our local non-league and women's teams, of course. Short and snappy from Ryan there, but a few of our sides actually not in action this weekend. Thank you once again, Ryan, for providing us with that detail this evening. Going to get to some of these score predictions now. Pompey, of course, take on Sunderland away from home tomorrow afternoon, and here's what you back home are saying. On Facebook, Reese Willis says 2-1 Pompey. Adam Miller's going for a 2-0 Pompey win. Charlie McCavery's going for a draw. Andy Gunningham says we're going to get stuffed like turkeys. Nice confidence there, Andy. Thank you for getting in touch. Gary Cornwell's going for 1-1. Bob Hobbs says 4-1 Pompey. Millsy Craig goes for 3-1. And Glenn Ballock is going for a 6-1 Pompey win. Thank you for getting in touch. Oh, and Stephen Jerome on the emails. Think we'll nick a goal near the end of going for a 1-0 Pompey win. Very quickly from the lads in studio with me tonight. Not in studio, you're back home. Reese, your score prediction, please. Pompey versus Sunderland.
My heart wants to say a win, but I think we're going to draw 2-2.
2-2 says Reese, and how about you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm hoping Gary's right with the 6-1, but I thought the same. I think a 1-1 draw tomorrow.
Lads, thank you both so much for joining me tonight. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm predicting a 2-1 win for the Blues tomorrow. And that's a game that you can hear right here live on 93.7 Express FM from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Stadium of Light.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey finally returned to winning ways in midweek. John Marquis and Michael Jacobs got themselves on the score sheet to secure 3 points at Gillingham. Up next is a chance to build a run of victories. The Black Cats await. Join us for all of the Emmerspell action as Pompey travel to Sunderland tomorrow afternoon from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
And that just about wraps up things here on the Football Hour this evening. Once again, I'd like to thank both Reese Harding and Paul Fletcher for joining in with the conversation over the phone lines. Cheers to you back home for tuning in and getting in touch with us tonight. And of course, a shout out to Stagecoach across myself for supporting another season of the show. That may be all from the three of us, but be sure to stick around and keep it Express FM for more great shows coming your way this evening. Don't miss Hip Shaker between 9 and 11. That's 2 hours of the best 60s soul, R&B and beat music to kickstart your weekend. Tomorrow morning, you'll be woken up by the dulcet tones of Ian McGuinness on a Saturday breakfast from 8 before he hands over the desk to Lily Park at 11. Mason Jordan presents this week's local music show between 6 and 7 before Amber Tremaine takes control with 4 hours of pure decades party through till 11. She'll be delivering the best tunes from the 70s, 80s, 90s and the noughties to complement your Saturday night. And in the midst of all of that, Pompey Live will be bringing you all of the action from the Blues trip to Sunderland in League One. Liam returns to host from home isolation, while myself and Ryan have been rewarded with a long trip up to the Stadium of Light to watch it all unfold. We'll have all of the build-up as well as live kick-by-kick commentary of that match from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Up next, though, Mason and Reg have got you covered with the biggest party anthems to begin your Friday night. Express Floor Fillers follows the news at 7. Thanks again for joining us this evening. Enjoy the lineup of shows coming your way, and I hope to hear from you all again tomorrow. Have a great night, stay safe, and play up Pompey.